Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Good morning to you and the birds that are in the background.
Yes, I'm out in nature this morning down in Marble Falls, Texas, overlooking the lake. It's pretty beautiful. It's nice and chill, not too hot. So, I kind of got a prettier view than you do.
Yeah, you do.
It's speaking of hot, it's been like blazing hot here.
It has. It's
in
ridiculous.
Texas. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's, I know it's hotter in other parts of the country, but we're typically not used to it popping up this quick and this hot and heavy. So I apologize for the birds, but I don't apologize for me being able to have a beautiful view in the cloud covered day here. So I'm going to share real quick. By the way, our music this morning was Bethel, You Make Me Brave. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome song. And I love to watch my girls sing it too. They felt it. So, this is Motivation for Your Real Life with Samantha Amidon and Dr. Stephen LaDuke. And we had recorded episode number 7 earlier in the week, and then it disappeared. And so we love technology and all of the good stuff that comes with it. But it was one of those things where we were kind of both so busy, we just said, we'll have to leave it and see what happens. Well, sure enough, pops up this morning. And so we posted that.
Yes.
And I'm excited about it. We both feel like that one. It was part one of Life Purpose, and we both feel like that one is some good content, some good stuff.
Yeah. Yep. I enjoyed recording that one. And I was sad when it didn't show up because it was a good one.
Yeah.
But it's there now. So that's good.
So now all 5 or 6 of our listeners can go on there and watch it. Listen to it.
Yes.
And we'll think there's a funny story in there about a lady taking advantage of the nice dentist reputation that we have and abusing that to lie to her family or somebody. So
Stephen's never going to let go of that.
People are just wrong. That's it. They're just dirty and wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. All right. So last time we talked about life purpose and who are you? And what do you love to do? And we'll get more into that and do the next step. Today's going to be a quick one. We've already talked about it. We're going to do a quick 30-minute one and see how that works for you guys. And if you guys seem to respond to the quicker ones, then we just need to be more efficient with how we're doing our stuff.
So today's an exciting day.
Yeah. Tell me why.
Because it's June 1st. And it's officially my birthday month.
Oh my God. What?
What? It is my birthday month.
And oh my God. See, and this is why Caleb had like a birthday week. Now I need your mother's phone number. I'm gonna have to call her and talk about how I should manage this with you, your birthday month. This is going to be a long month. Last month was Mental Health Awareness Month. This month is officially Samantha's birthday month. And apparently I'm getting the sense that you feel like it should be recognized nationally.
It should. That's why I'm mentioning it first thing in the podcast.
Yes.
So I feel a little bit, you know, kind of weird. Like I'm turning, I'll be 35 and. I know that is still considered a baby in Steven's eyes since he's so old, but, you know, just like I found a few gray hairs this year and, I don't know. I'm just like, it's exciting. Like, I love my birthday, but I don't know. 35 seems so old.
Yeah. No, it is old.
It is
old. Yeah.
It is. After next year, I'll be closer to 40 than I am 30.
Yeah. Well, isn't 35 years old when you ladies, now let me preface this. I work with 9 women and I have 4 daughters. And I swim in a sea of estrogen. So that being said, isn't 35 when you ladies start having to get the bras that provide a little more lift? You know, when isn't that a
kind of. I don't know anything about that because I have no boobs.
Oh. All right. Yeah. Well, I got nothing.
But
I got nothing.
Yeah. Speaking of that, my kid the other day, he said something that was like, oh, cool. Yeah, that's right. I'm about to turn old. He said, Mom, you look like someone from the Old Testament. And I was like, what?
Wow.
I said, how do you even know that? Is that good or bad? He said, it's good because you're still alive, even though you're probably like 100 already.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dude, he is like you. He's straight to the heart. Punch in the gut, take you out. All right. We have to be a little bit focused here. So do you have something funny for us to,
That was my funny.
Was that it? That was it?
That was it. But
dude, that is the Old Testament. Where does that even come from? Like, I guess that's because that he attends strict Christian.
Yeah.
Strict Christian school.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know. I guess he told me on a day that I didn't, you know, have any makeup on or whatever. I guess I just look super homely. And he said I look like I'm from the Old Testament. And I wasn't really sure how to take that. But it got 200 likes on Facebook, so.
Did it really?
Yeah. If I haven't seen that one. If you guys don't follow me on Facebook, then I post a lot of things that my kid says, like it's kind of my thing that I do.
Yeah.
And I always hashtag it with shit Caleb says. And that was one of the things that shit Caleb says. So
that is probably, would you say that's kind of your funniest thing or the thing that, that people identify with the most?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, we'll be places. I don't know. I mean, I can't even tell you like how often. It's so often we'll go somewhere and somebody will say, oh, I just love, you know, I love what, you know, you post on Facebook about what Caleb says, or they'll tell him like, oh, you said something funny. And he just looks at me like, WTF, what are they talking about?
He doesn't have it's just in the moment.
Yeah.
And
he doesn't know that I tell the whole world.
Right. So. Right. So does he think that you're more of an Esther, you know, or an Eve? Or do you think it's just like a Rebecca kind of like,
man, I don't know.
You know,
I don't know. I'll have to like research what, you know, each, I don't know. I don't know that he even knows, you know, any of the specifics. Like that's what blew me away. I'm like, the Old Testament, how do you even know that? How do you even know what they look like? Nobody knows what they look like. They had long hair. Ruth, I have short hair.
Ruth would have been good. Ruth would have been good. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Ruth.
Yeah. Oh. All right. So that's pretty funny. That makes me laugh. Now, going back to life purpose, last time we talked about who are you and what do you love to do? And so I shared that I am 48, and this is about taking an actual assessment of where you're at, right? There's truth and honesty with it. There's integrity with your transparency, and not just for your journey and who you are with God, but for the people around you. I mean, I remember that moment when I had to accept and just say, like, well, shit fire. I am a divorcee or divorcee, whatever it's called. I mean, I'm divorced. That's it. And I'm assuming you had a similar thing when you had to kind of accept or willingly finally lay down like push the walls down in terms of saying I'm a widow.
Yeah. Well, the first time somebody called me a widow, not out of like, haha, you're a widow, but just mentioned like, you know, now that you're a widow, I'm like, oh my God. I mean, it was really something. Yeah, it was hard to process that. And yeah, it was tough.
So I'm going to be a little bit of honesty and transparency here for those of y'all that either go to church or in some type of organized religion. I'll tell you, when I realized that, that's when I realized what a horrible job we had done or had been that I was a part of, okay, in the leadership of the church with the men's ministry and teaching Sunday school and doing all this stuff. What a not holy job we had done in terms of how we identify people, because I realized a big part of the reason why I didn't want to use that word was because there was such a stigma with it. And I realized, doggone it, number one, it sucks to feel that way, to have to accept it. But two, that I was a part of that. And I realized that Jesus is about us embracing everybody as you are, right then, right now. And there's tons of stories about who he healed, how he healed, and the discussion of, you were much more likely to find Jesus in a bar taking care of people or preaching to the masses of the hurt and the hurting than you were to find him in the temples with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so for me in my journey, that was a that was something that was interesting. That was I had to take ownership of that, if that makes sense. And then as time went on and stuff, I came to realize we're all just failed. You know, we're all just failed human beings. As the wind kicks up here at Marble Falls. So did you find any of that where there was a stigma that was there? Do you think it was mainly in your own brain, or that it was from being around other, like, to me, I would think, if I was going to guess, that the term widow was reserved for women in their 60s. I would assume you never attached that to yourself and of course, you know, men and women die all the time at young ages, but.
And I think that's why it was hard, is because it does sound like, just the sound of it when it comes out of your mouth, we're just trained for it to sound like it belongs to an old person, you know?
Yeah.
Not old, but you know what I mean? Older. And yeah. So it just didn't even seem real that it was attached to me. And right. Honestly, it was my second time to go through something like that, as far as getting an identity or, you know, accepting the other time.
A label. How about a label?
The other time would have been, you know, being called an amputee or, you know, whatever. And it took me such a long time to get over my accident. Or actually, it took me a long time to admit that I wasn't okay with having one arm. And it took me, you know, for years and years and years, I was like, I'm fine with it. It's fine. Until I realized that I wasn't. And, just as I was getting over that, I wrote my accident story, when Caleb was about 18 months old and, on my blog. And that's the time that I realized I wasn't really truly over it until I wrote it and I got it out, and I'm like, wow, I'm over, you know, like I have a new title. I'm a mom. I'm, you know, something else was identifying me. It's something positive as far as being a mother. And I didn't have to hold on to my accident anymore anyway. So I wrote about it and I kind of let it go. And then shortly after, and then just 6 months after that, I became a widow. So it was like, you know,
wham, wham.
All over again. And I've had to deal with that. We talked about that in, I think, podcast number 3 about, you know, being identified with those kind of things.
Yeah. With the labels that are put on them. So,
So
we know, for those of y'all that are listening, you have labels too, right? It might be a single parent. It might be being gay. It might be, honestly, it might be being a Christian or a Baptist. It might be spiritually raised or Catholic, right? Like different faiths have different stigmas with them. What's some other things, Samantha, that people might, how about being fat or being obese?
Right.
Being an addict, being addicted to something.
Having been diagnosed as, you know, whatever mental, you know, being bipolar or being
depressed, depression,
depressed, having those labels.
Yeah. Yeah. And one that I just thought about that to me is almost the worst one. So my daughter Macy has cerebral palsy, and it's somewhat slight, and most people can't really tell if they just see her across the way, but we say she has a little hitch in her giddy up, you know, she kind of, like, especially when she's tired, but one of the things we used to always say is that people can see hers. Most people, we can't see inside the minds and the hearts and the souls of others that are hurting. And yes. And so there's a lot of you out there that don't have an official diagnosis or something that might be identified by society or public. And but you're hurting. You're hurting. Your marriage is on the rocks. You're struggling with some, maybe drinking too much. You do have a food addiction. Maybe you have an addiction to how you look. Maybe it's to your status. You always want to give off that you are either in control or right. kind of one of those moms that's at everything. And so that's kind of the stuff that's sneaky to me. That is where it's difficult enough to have a quote unquote label that's out there, which we'll just say this, look, labels are what they are. Okay. They are, it's just a term. Nobody means it. We joke about whenever kids are kids, or we don't joke about it, but we talk about when kids are kids and they just talk about stuff. They just bring stuff up. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to be hurtful. They're curious.
Yeah.
We talked about in Samantha, I think in episode 3 thereabouts, where kids will just come up to you and go, "Hey, you still only have one arm." And you're like, "Yeah, yeah." Right. And as adults, it is, for better or for worse, it's a part of our natural world. I think Samantha and I would both say that while it does affect who we are, it isn't who we are. And that's two very different points to distinguish. It does not define me, no more than my mistakes or my actions in the past mm-hmm. define me. And so we feel strongly about that. So how does that apply to life purpose? Well, you have to know who you are. You have to know, take an account of your age, this time, employed, unemployed, you know, married, not married, working towards things, whatever else. So that's super important. The second part of that I asked you guys to look into as far as your life accounting goes is, what do you love to do? And I said that I love to teach and motivate. I've come to accept over the last probably 3 or 4 years that that's kind of what I'm naturally drawn to. I've done it in men's ministry in the church. We've taught Sunday school for many years. I also help teach a leadership class of junior high. And then I'm also now teaching fast braces, and I love to motivate and teach my team as well. Now, that doesn't mean everything else in my life is perfect. It means that that's what I'm drawn to do. And I've been told enough times over the years that, hey, man, you do a really good job of that, that I'm now finally opening it up and seeing what opportunity is available for me. Samantha, how would you say that in terms of what do you love to do?
I was just thinking, you know, about writing and stuff. I've had enough people now in the past few years that say, I mean, every time they, you know, talk to me about my writing, they say, "You should write a book." And it's finally happening. And I finally accepted or finally, you know, it takes some time to feel like you're valued at that. Or, you know, I don't know what, I mean, you know, it just took me some time to accept it. Like when people were like, "Oh, you're a good writer." I'm like, "Oh, I just, you know, I'm okay." Or I just couldn't accept the compliment. But finally, right. I've gotten, you know, to the point and I finally have made a step in the direction of writing my book. And so now I can say, thank you. I am actually writing a book, you know?
Right.
And
right.
So, yeah, that's the thing that I've, you know, come to accept that I'm good at, I guess. I don't know why it's hard for me to accept compliments, even in my recent journey to being more fit and losing weight. People are like, "Oh, you look so great." I always say, "Oh, I still have a long ways to go." You know, I don't ever just say thank you.
All right. So we're pretty real here. That's the whole point of this show. So when somebody gives Samantha a compliment like that, I say this, I have this discussion, by the way, with my team members, with my employees, with my daughters. What we want to hear, what we want to say, when somebody says, "Hey man, you're looking good. You know what? Thank you very much. I appreciate your encouragement," right? Mm-hmm. Something that's simple where you're not bragging. That's the thing. You don't want to brag. And on some level, you have probably had some self-esteem issues in that area. And right. So it happens all the time. Hey, your dress is super pretty. What, this old thing? I got it on sale. You know, it's right. a piece of crap. You know, and as a, so anybody that's a friend of mine that where that comes across, I'll give them the death stare. No, I'm joking. I just stare at them like, or you could just say thank you, you know. Uh-huh. And I don't do that to be rude or mean or anything like that, but I do it because I believe that's an area that I see, that I identify, that I can help them with. And I can do it in an easy or joking or fun-loving way. But essentially, I'm like, you know, if somebody's giving you that compliment, it's totally amazing and awesome just to sit there and say, you know what, thank you. And so one of the things I think that's important, and I would challenge our listeners, is pick that one thing that you're not comfortable with, but you know you get compliments about. And mm-hmm. so Samantha just shared her weight. And when they say something, then if you're uncomfortable with just saying thank you, then add a transition word in there, a qualifier in there, like, I appreciate your encouragement. So you're receiving it into your heart, and then you feel more comfortable because you're kind of giving them a compliment back, which is thank you for being an encourager. Does that make sense, Samantha?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. All right. So we're going to hit this last part real quick. So this is part two of life purpose. And so the next step in doing what you're doing is it's two steps, but they're a similar thing. And so first we said, who are you? What do you love to do? And then the next step is who would your audience be? So you need to be specific about it. So in my case, I said, I love teenagers. We've done that a lot just, with church and with the, my impact group, our teenage leadership group. And so I love talking to them at that age because they're still moldable and they somewhat listen as long as you're not their parent. And where they don't think you're an idiot, right? We laugh about the age of 14 to 16 is where they will straight up look parents in the face and they say, you think your parents dumb, don't you? And so many kids, I mean, I can prove this in my practice I have over the years. So many kids will go, yeah, the parents just have to laugh. So it's kind of a cool time, cool point in time, sorry for the wind, because parents are also typically a little bit more chill and a little bit better with laughing about the fact that their kids are sitting there going, yeah, I'm dumb. So that's one for me. The other one is just adults and probably more, little bit more women than men for me. I love doing men's ministry. And if you ask me kind of heart of the matter, I would tell you that that's kind of a thing. That being said, because I work with 9 women and I kind of been swimming in the sea of estrogen, I see a lot of ladies that come into my office that have issues with teeth and stuff. And many, many, many times, I would say once a month, the lady, my employees kind of give me a hard time sometimes because I'll sit down and have a heart to heart with them and saying, hey, look, I love that you're putting everybody else first. But at some point, you're going to have to choose you if you want to be a good example to your kids, and B, if you want to be happy.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of probably kind of morphed into that over time. How about you? Who's your audience?
I guess probably moms. I mean, moms my age. If we're talking about, you know, who reads my stuff. I've got a lot of moms my age, and I'm really trying to focus on or reach out to other single moms or other single parents is what I'd kind of really like to reach out to. And I would say sometimes in kids, I mean, you know, maybe not as young as Caleb, but, you know, the younger group, because that's who I'm around.
Right.
But I would, like to also reach out to kids who have some kind of handicap growing up or whatever, just because, you know, I was different growing up and made some things hard. There was a lot of times I felt like I couldn't be a regular kid, like I couldn't or I didn't play the regular sports or whatever. Right. You know, there was just a lot of, because I was in the hospital a lot. And so I like to reach out to those kids as well. But for the most part, I would say probably single parents right now, mostly single moms my age.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. And I love that you share that because, you know, for you, you can identify with three or four different groups, I think. And again, this is where we're talking about those same things, labels, and we're using it in a positive, right? And mm-hmm. so again,
and I get a ton of people reaching out to me regarding the mental health stuff too.
Yeah,
I probably once a month somebody unfortunately messages me and says, "I know somebody who you know committed suicide, and you know what." Yeah. What can I tell them? Can I share your blog post? What's right. a good thing to talk to them about? And I'm thankful that they feel like they can reach out to me. However, I hate how often it is. Just because you know it's happening. It's just happening all the time.
Yes,
and,
it is.
It's super sad. But I am thankful that I have had that experience, which is also why I like to share that I'm open with it to you all, yeah. You know, in my blog, so that people know that they can reach out and say, what do you suggest? What, you know, not that I have a professional opinion, but I, you know, you can at least go back to my blog post and read about how some of those things made me feel and kind of wrap your mind around a little bit of how it is such a different, it's a different animal. It's a different beast.
We are in no way stating that we are, you know, our advice, our life experiences are better than professional help. We both have either currently going to counseling or have been to counseling. We've been doing counseling with myself and my daughters for 6 years now, since the separation, divorce. And so it's just a matter of saying that, you know, we have an opinion and this is kind of our life experience. And we believe that there was healing along our own personal journeys as we found out other things from other people. And so that was a part of the puzzle, a piece of the puzzle in terms of healing and getting better. And so, okay, cool. So I asked you guys that are listening last time to do several things. Number one was to have your circle of influence. So on a sheet of paper, you're going to like draw a wheel, and in the middle of the hub, it's going to be you. You're just going to draw lines out. And so that circle of influence is going to be identifiers, you know, like in my case, I'm a dentist, I'm a single dad, I'm a Christian. And then your circle of influence in terms of people that have direct influence on you on a weekly basis. For me, that includes my parents. It includes my coworkers at work. It includes Samantha. It includes just other three or four other friends and close friends and family that I'm close with. And so you guys need to write that stuff down, because the reason it's important is as you go along this life purpose journey with us, you're going to want to look and see, are any of those people toxic to me? Are any of those people bring chaos and bring sadness and depression? Am I always bitching and complaining to them? Is it always a source of joy and happiness? Is it stuff that's in the middle, you know, where you have a combination of it? Or is it where you just have this constant stress, or their lives are always a train wreck and you're either observing or you're involved in it?
Yeah, or you get caught up in it. I have a friend who I talk to pretty often, and they constantly complain. And I notice that when we talk, I feel like I have to have a complaint as well, just so to keep the conversation, you know, level. And I don't like that anymore. Yeah. Like, it's like, well, my day's good. Like, I don't have anything to complain about. And so, to keep that in mind, it's not necessarily that just keep that in mind. Like, how do you adapt to the negative people? Like, are you adapting to them, or are you trying to show them, like, you know, it'd be better for you to adapt the opposite way. Like, you know, say, oh, well, no, my day's great. I'm very blessed.
That's
instead of, you know, adapting to their, like, oh, let me come up with something to complain about. Because you can come up with something to complain about. I mean, always.
That's right.
There's always something. But it's just a matter of speaking it. And so I kind of want to throw that in there.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for saying that. Don't be their bitch buckets, right? Don't be. If you want something different, listen to me. If you want something different, you have to start doing things different, and you have to start thinking different. And that means your circle of influence, which is going to be the five closest people, people that are closest to you in terms of your, and it may not be that, that they're close to you, like in a family or relational aspect, but you may be around them at work all the time.
Yeah.
And you're
yeah,
just
yeah.
hanging out, drinking coffee in between breaks.
Yeah.
And they are bitching and complaining yeah. all the time. And you've become their sounding board, and you need to step away from that person. Mm-hmm. What I found that happens is that when I start saying, oh, what a blessing, you know, what a great opportunity to do something great or different or whatever, then those people at some point after about a week or two start saying, well, I just wish I could vent to you. You know, you're shutting me down. Why can't I? You're all you talk about is kind of the good thing of it. Why can't you just accept it? And so it, when you hear that, everybody, and it's happened to me probably 3 or 4 times now in the last 5 years. When you hear that, as you try to step away from it, you have to be strong and step away if you want something different.
Yeah.
So the second thing I asked you is, I said on a sheet of paper, write down who are you, write down all your descriptors, all your labels, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. It only needs to work for you. Number two, what do you love to do? Write down the things that you love to do. There should be 2, 3, 4, 5 things that you absolutely love to do. And if you're not sure, you can message Samantha and I, and we can help walk you through that process. We'd love to help you with that. And then the third thing that I gave you today was, who would your audience be? You need to know, as you're transitioning into this next stage of life, where what fills your bucket, what fills your cup, what makes you happy, and chances are there's some people in there. Some people do this for a job. We want to help you find something, find a place where your life purpose can be fully expressed, whether it's at a volunteer job at the YMCA, whether it's helping something at work, whether it's at church, whether it's at school. There's tons of volunteer opportunities, and as well, there's things you can do, like what Samantha and I have done, where we've made some transitions personally and professionally to find what we love to do. Mm-hmm. Anything else on that, Samantha, as we wrap this up?
I don't think so.
Okay, cool. So, Samantha, thank you for coming on and doing this, and I love you. I appreciate you so much. You're a blessing. We talk about sometimes laugh that we don't get to actually have enough verbal conversations, but yeah. This has been good.
It's good. It's the first time we've recorded first thing in the morning. And
yeah.
Just for everybody that knows me, knows I'm not a morning person. So,
she is not. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway.
So, all right, everybody, y'all have a great day. Do that homework, write down that stuff for us. Do it for yourself. And if you want to share it, man, we'd love to have you guys share it. What's the best place for them to share it? On Facebook, probably?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Share that. If you want to submit us an email or questions, go to SamanthaAmadon.com. And y'all continue to live your best life, to love your day, to love the ones you're with, and Samantha.
Oh shoot! Yes, sorry. be kind. Follow your light and be blessed.
Have a good day, bye. Everybody. Bye bye.